to be in the house of the Lord.
Amen.
Some papers fell in here. Amen.
Amen.
So we want to go right ahead and continue with the study of the word. Amen. Some of you who have been sojourning with us, you're aware that we started a series on marriage and family. And we want to continue that again today. Amen. With another installment from the word of God. And we're going to go right ahead. Now, this is kind of the timing, the way things worked out, is that God situated where next week happens to be Father's Day. So this week we're going to take an installment here in our marriage and family. And actually, our next week's lesson will coincide with the holiday. Amen. So we thank God for that. So just before we get started, I'm going to ask that the deacons would read for you a few verses from the Old and the New Testament, and you may stand for the reading of the word, and if you're able, and of course, if not, just make yourself comfortable and open your ears. This will be verses from Proverbs 18, verses 21 to 24, and the New Testament scripture reading from the book of Ephesians, chapter number 5, verses 20 to 24. May give your undivided attention to the reading of God's holy and inerrant word. Amen.
Death and life are in the power of the tongue, and they that love it shall eat the fruit thereof. Whoso findeth the wife findeth a good thing, and obtaineth favor of the Lord. The poor useth entreaties, but the rich answereth roughly. A man that hath friends must shew himself friendly, and there is a friend that sticketh closer than a brother.
Amen, amen. The reading of the Old Covenant, and now for the reading of the New Covenant. Amen. The reading of the New Testament, you may be seated in the presence of the Lord. And we're going to use for a subject today, speaking with faith for building your family. Amen. Speaking with faith for building your family. Amen. Let us have a word of prayer. Eternal God, we praise and bless you today, Father God. We lift you up and exalt your name, Father. We just thank you for your word, Lord. You have said that those who continue in your word are your disciples indeed, and you promised that we shall know the truth, and the truth shall make us free. Lord God, we need that more than anything. We need to be able to continue in your word and be set free from all things, Lord. We thank you that in the giving of the gospel of your son, that you promised eternal life to whosoever believes in him, and that that is the starting point in our relationship with you. And so, Lord God, by that starting point is complete on your end, that the blood of Jesus is sufficient entirely by itself to save whosoever trust and believe that you raised him from the dead. And so, Lord God, we thank you for covering us completely, but we also want to thank you this morning, Lord, for sanctifying us by the hearing of your word and providing us with pastor, teachers, and evangelists and all the things that you provide, the gifts, the fivefold ministry. Those things that you give to the body in order that we might edify one another and share the gospel with the entire world. So, Lord God, we thank you for that today. And we just thank you and praise you that you let us be a part of this organism, the church, which is the body of Christ. And you even said we are the bride of Christ. So help us today to understand that on a new level, Lord God. And we ask that you minister to us as we examine these words that you have set forth in your word, Lord, and we ask you to give us eyes to see, ears to hear, and a heart to understand what the Spirit saith to the churches. We bless you today, Lord God, and we give you praise, and we ask it in the righteous name of your Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord, and it's in his name we pray, and the church said together, amen. Amen. Speaking with faith for building your family. Now, you know, as we continue this series, this is the series on marriage and family, we're going to just have to indulge ourselves to allow the Spirit of God to speak to our hearts, to let us know what it is that you and I can do and what we need to do in order to continue in the path of faith. Now, did you know God called you to be a witness to him no matter what area of life you're in? And as we mentioned this morning, when we're in church, this is the corporate gathering where we get together to hear from the Lord, to feed on his word, to allow his spirit to supply us with conviction about different things pertaining to ourselves, and also instruction about how we should interact with other people when we go out of the church building. Amen. As the building is not the church, we are the church. Each of us individually are a stone in the building of God, Peter said. See, we're lively stones in the building of God. In other words, we are alive. We're not a building that sits in one spot. We are an organism that goes out to impact the world. We have a purpose and a mission, and that purpose and that mission is to go and teach all the nations. Now, you may say, oh, you know, I'm not a teacher. I'm not a preacher. I don't do that. But the fact is, your life is a testimony to the people who you encounter. God is using you. You are a living epistle known and read by all men, Paul said to the Corinthians. So God is making you a letter of his love to the whole world by the way you live your life. You don't even have to necessarily pick up the Bible and say, hey, the Bible says this or that or the other. It's just the convictions that you hold and the way you carry yourself in the world, living, being filled with the Spirit of God, that speaks volumes to other people. Because you have something. Sometimes when we're in the church, we forget that we have something that people who don't know the Lord on that personal level do not have. You have some peace that people in the world do not have. People struggle and try to look around to find peace for themselves. You know, they even make up false things to give them a false assurance of peace. Some people have a lot of different types of philosophies that they think will give them peace. But the fact is, the Bible says, therefore, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. So the best peace that you can have is to know that I am right with God. I didn't do it. God did it. God made it necessary, the necessary sacrifice to accept me just like I am. See, that's what the good news of the gospel is. God gave his son and he made a decree to all the world that whosoever believes in him will not perish, but have everlasting life. That's where the peace comes from. If there was going to be peace with a holy and righteous God, it had to start on his end. It can't start on my end because I don't know what it takes to satisfy a righteous God. No one does. But God made sure that he put a proclamation in the world that whoever believes in the name of his son, Jesus Christ, whom he has centered in time so that you really can't ignore him, is 2016 because 2016 years ago, Jesus was born. Not true of any other person in history. And so God made it so you really have to acknowledge him. But he did it because he wants to give an open door, blank check to everyone to trust me through my son and know for sure that from my end, you have been forgiven. And that forgiveness is what frees us to be at peace with God. That's why the Bible in Romans 5 says, therefore, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God. You see what I'm saying? We're at peace. In other words, there's no enmity, no animosity, no problem God is looking at in you if you come trusting in the name of Jesus Christ. God has settled our debt entirely. That good news we call the gospel. How do we know we can trust the gospel? Because the gospel was proven because Jesus Christ is the only one that got out of the grave. Now, that's the proof of the gospel. If they could have found that body, they could shut the whole church down. There wouldn't be a church today. There was no body. Why? Because Jesus got out of the grave. And so we go with that justification, the fact that Christ is the only one in the history of humanity who defeated death, hell, and the grave, and got up and declared, all power is given to me, Matthew 28:18, in heaven and earth. Then he said to us, who are the believers, go ye therefore and teach all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you. The Greek says all the days. I love that. I always like to break that out. The King James translation says, lo, I am with you always. The Greek literally says, lo, I am with you all the days. That means however many days there are, The Lord says, I am with you. I found a lot of comfort in that. It doesn't make any difference how many days there are. If this is my last day, the Lord is with me today. He's been with me from the moment that I understood and accepted the gospel. You know why you understood and accepted the gospel? Because God gave you faith through the message that was preached. The Bible says faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. So God wants people to be saved, but man has a problem. This is the whole problem. And this is why when we discuss marriage and family, we really need to look in the Bible to find out what is true. We can't go by modern philosophy or by any of the kind of ways the world looks at things, because the world is twisted and convoluted. They're filled with sin. They are not at peace with God. It's not that we don't have sin as a members of the church. We do, but we have a different relationship because God has justified us. That word justification means that I accept you just as if you never sinned. That's what it means. And how does he do that? Well, he provided his son, Jesus Christ, so that whoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. And this is true for everyone, no matter who you are. If you trust in the name of Jesus Christ, then you shall be saved, the Bible says. And so this is the good news, the proclamation that we call the gospel, the good news of Jesus Christ. And so you and I, basically, even though we do still have issues, God has taken up residence in us and sealed us with the Holy Spirit. Whoever believes in Christ, the Bible says he seals you with the Holy Spirit of promise for the day of redemption. This is a seal that God puts on you, those who trust and believe in Jesus Christ, that God raised him out of the grave. Now, you know what? I wouldn't trust anybody or any faith or so-called religion if the founder of that thing didn't get out of the grave. What can he do for me? How can he help me? How can he do anything for anyone? If all you're going to do is die and you have to suffer the same penalty everyone else does, and you don't have the solution, then you don't have the answer to the problem of sin, whoever you are. And so the good news, and this is somewhat roundabout, but I have to go here, because if we're going to talk about family and marriage and define it the way God does in his book, we need to understand that the world sets itself against the Lord. That's the problem. The world is against the Lord. False religionists are against God. They don't know what family is. They didn't design it. They don't believe what the scriptures teach about it. So you and I have to go back and trust what God said by faith. The scriptures teach that when God had made man in his own image and his own likeness, which was a great, what can I call it? When you really admire somebody, you give them some kind of an image of you. Your children are in your image. They come out looking like you. They come out acting like you because they are your children. And so when God made Adam, that's what he had in mind. Make somebody creative and brilliant and smart that can do things, that understand stuff like I do, that can appreciate this great creation into which I'm setting him. I made him a biotope that is made out of things that are fascinating, and he can explore all these things that we call the heavens and the earth. And so he said in Genesis 1:26, let us make man in our image and after our likeness. And basically that was the pattern that God set. And it was a flawless pattern. When Adam was made, he was without sin and he was in the presence of God. There was a oneness, a unity with God and with man. And God, the first thing God says, and you all know I like to talk about this part in Genesis chapter 2, where there was one law that was given. But before that law was given, God said, right after the law was given, which he said, he commanded the man to go into the garden and basically to be there. And God had made a perfect environment that was called the Garden of Eden, along with the rest of the earth. And he was telling him to go there and work that garden and produce, make it bring forth fruits and all these kind of things. Basically, he went in, and there was perfection in the world, no flaw. No sin, no corruption, no separation between God and man. Man and God were together as one. And then, of course, the first thing the Bible says is not good is that it is not good that the man should be alone. So what was God's answer for that? If the Bible says he put man into a deep sleep and he took from him a rib and fashioned a woman, and then he brought her to him, he closed up the flesh thereof. We would call that surgery. And you and I in modern times read that, and we don't think much about it, but it was written in antiquity, 1,500 years before Christ was born. Surgery was not a thing that people understood very well at that time.
Now, we read over and gloss over it because we hear about it all the time. You know, it means it's a different perception that you and I have than it did 1,500 years before Christ. People weren't understanding the anatomy like you and I do today. But in either case, God made man in his own image. He said it's not good that man should be alone, even before sin came into the world. And then when the deception of the devil, he made Eve, of course, the woman, and brought her to the man, we go on to say. And this was the first time God said that what a man needs is a woman. And I don't think we have a lot of trouble understanding that by and large, although the culture in general doesn't believe that. They want to change what that means. They think a man and a man is okay. God said a man and a woman. A woman is what a man needs. See? And so he made Eve. And you know what? I'm just going to be real with you here this morning. Y'all don't mind. Y'all mind that the pastor be real with you this morning? If you look at the biology of a woman and the anatomy of a woman and compare it with the biology and the anatomy of a man, obviously they were made to go together. Not trying to be dirty or nothing here. This is not dirty. This is what God made. The biology of the woman and the anatomy of the woman was designed to be compatible with the biology and the anatomy of a man. You can look at it and see. I tell you what, if you get two items that have plugs on it, two computers, they don't go together. You got to have a receptacle and a plug. Pardon me this morning. Things are compatible. It will not work. Two plugs or two receptacles cannot connect one to another. It's incompatible. Everything we see on earth is designed that way. All the animals were designed that way with a biological compatibility between the male and the female counterpart. And we're not bashing anybody, but we're stating the true facts of God's word. When God said that it's not good that the man should be alone, his solution was to make the woman. And so what you and I have to do, and there's another hidden component that I wanted to introduce into this message today, and that's what are you saying out of your mouth? A lot of times the stuff we say doesn't line up with what God has said. And you know what? We crumble under the pressure of society who's shouting their evil messages sky high and loud and long all day long, broadcasting it all over the planet. And then the Christians cower under the broadcast of all these deceitful, evil messages coming out into the world. But what you and I have to do is study what God said, believe what God said, and speak what God said. Jesus said this. He said, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. So what's abundantly in your heart is what's going to come out of your mouth. That's why we have to fill ourselves with God's word. Fill your mind with God's word. Meditate in my law, he said, day and night. He said, if you do that, you'll be like a tree. A tree is a stable thing. You ever see a truck after it ran into a tree? Or a car? That car is devastated. The tree is barely hurt. And so when they run the trucks and the automobiles and the bulldozers of life and evil philosophy from man up against you, bam, it's going to be like a tree if you're in the word of God. You need to let your mind and your mouth be governed by what God said in his word. Don't go by what the populace says, because if you do that, you're going to get in trouble. You're going to be fearful yourself about your own status. When people try to shut your mouth and bridle you and muzzle you, you want to speak up. You don't have to be loud. I like to be loud myself, but you don't have to be. The truth is just as powerful when it's spoken softly as it is when you speak it loud, you know? And so you can just say it. It's like pulling the trigger on a gun, then making you squeeze it hard or soft. The velocity coming out of that barrel is going to be the same. So the word of God is like that. It's quick and powerful, it says in Hebrews chapter 4, verse 12. It's sharper than any two-edged sword, and it's able to divide asunder soul and spirit. It's a discerner of the thoughts and the intents of the heart. See, so God's word helps us examine ourselves. God said that. Examine yourself to see whether you be in the faith. Do you trust me and believe me? 2 Corinthians 13:5, the Apostle Paul says, examine yourselves to see whether you be in the faith. So we have to make the decision. Did you know the Bible says here in Proverbs 18 and 21, death and life are in the power of the tongue. What you say has a big importance on how you conduct yourself. what you feel about yourself, what people think about you, the real facts about what's in your heart. If the word of God is in your heart, you speak life to the world. If the word of the world is in your mind, you speak death to the world. So you and I should be those who realize that life and death is in the power of the tongue. What you say is very critical to how you think of yourself, how people think of you, and the way things go in your life. You know what? What God said, the Bible says in Mark 13:31, that the heavens and the earth shall pass away. God has announced the destruction and the passing away of heaven and earth because of sin. But you know what the second part of the verse is? But my word shall never pass away. Mark 13:31. Put that down and look it up. He says the heavens and the earth shall pass away. He said that. You know what that means? There's coming a day when the heavens and the earth will be rolled up like a scroll. That's what it says in Revelation. And there was no place found for them. They just went totally back out of existence. And John said, but I saw a new heaven and a new earth coming down from God as a bride adorned for her husband, the image of a bride coming down. As a bride adorned for her husband, a glorious, beautiful thing coming down from God without a spot or a blemish. The new Jerusalem coming down from God. And so you and I need to learn that the power of death and life are in our tongue, what we say. And they that love it shall eat the fruit thereof. Whichever one you love, you know what, I love the truth. I don't know about you. I think you do. I love what God said. I love the fact that he loved us first. The Bible says we love him because he first loved us. You see what I'm saying? And so you and I have to learn that if we trust in God, and we should speak what God says. You have the attitude God has. You know what? If you have God's attitude, you're going to clash with the world. If the world says anything goes, baby, whatever works. You know, they're into pragmatism, whatever works. If it works, it's okay. You know, to the world. But God said there are specific things that you and I need to invest our mind, our time into. And think about this. God has covered you if you're saved. If you trust in Jesus Christ, God has covered you. He's given you perfect righteousness. That's what the gospel is about. God loving sinners like me. And when he hear the good news that I'm giving my son to settle your debt once and for all, that I cover you with his righteousness. I don't see your sin anymore, Fisher, because you're covered with the righteousness of my son. See, I did that. I provided it for you because I know you have a problem. Now, the problem we have is we live in a world of people who don't believe God. That's the problem. And they want to keep on fashioning religions so that religion is man's approach to try to reach God. The gospel is God loving a sinful man who couldn't help himself and giving his son in mercy to cover you for your sin so I don't have to judge you. He didn't want to judge us. When he made Adam, he loved Adam, made him in his own image, his own likeness. There was no judgment in God's mind at that time. You know what? There was nothing but blessing. Look what he made. Look how rich of a thing the world and the universe is that God gave to man. You think that was an expression of anything less than love? He loved us. Still does. The good news about God, he never changes. Nothing to change. He's perfect in every aspect. He's beyond perfect. Perfect is a cheap way to describe him. He's so much better than that. We don't even have words in our vocabulary. So when you and I see and learn what God said, we want to speak what he says. Now, and then the Proverbs writer, getting back to our subject, also says, whoso findeth a wife, findeth a good thing, and obtain the favor of the Lord. You know what? I enjoy knowing that I'm under the favor of God. I don't know what I'd do if I didn't know that I was under the favor of God. There's so much discouraging, disappointing kind of stuff in the world that will be in your life. It's going to be in your life, but it's better if you know I have the favor of God. I'm covered under the blood of his son. He loved me that much, gave his son for me. And he covers me with favor. That means no matter what the world says or does, I'm under the favor of God. So you really can't hurt me. You can't do anything to me. You might hurt me, but you know what? Jesus said, don't fear him who can destroy the body. And when he's done that, that's all he can do. He doesn't have a heaven or hell to put you in. But fear him who can destroy the body and soul and cast both into hell. The only one who can do that is God. So if you fear the Lord, you trust him, you believe him, then God will bless you with the gift of salvation. He wants anyone, everyone to have it. His disposition never changed. When Adam sinned, it did not affect God. God didn't go, oh, and then change into something different. God remains the same. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. The Bible says from everlasting to everlasting, you are God. See, he never changed. There's nothing to change. So even though Adam and mankind changed, was affected by sin, and still he is up to this very second, God never changed. He loves you just like you are. But he won't save you against your will. Because it needs to be an act of the will. But he says, whoso findeth a wife, findeth a good thing. A wife is a good thing. And obtaineth favor of the Lord. I love being under God's favor. The poor uses entreaties. That means he pleads and begs. But the rich answers roughly. Because the rich are trusting in their riches. They think, I have money, I can say what I want, and they're kind of confident. It's a false confidence, because if you don't have Christ, I don't care what else you have. It doesn't make any difference. It's going to come to naught. Notice this last verse, Proverbs 18:24. A man that hath friends must show himself friendly. And there is a friend that sticketh closer than a brother. See, when we show ourselves friendly to the world, our message is really a friendly message. It's the fact that God loved you so much, he gave his son, Jesus Christ, centered him in time, so you cannot deny him. You can tell this to anybody because it's the truth. It's the hard fact. 2016, because of the birth of Christ. And God loved you, gave his son, made him famous because he wants you to have a correct relationship with him. You see? And that's kind of a side subject here today, but I wanted to make sure it's in there because the gospel is the most important thing you and I possess. Because it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth. You see? And so it's very important. But notice the emphasis on the man who finds a wife, here it says. Whoso findeth a wife, he findeth a good thing and obtaineth favor from the Lord. Now, this is what I want you to see. All the things that we see in the material world and even things we cannot see that are invisible in the physical world are also the things that exist in the spiritual world. Any of those are things we can or cannot see. They exist because of the spoken word or the decree of the Most High God. God spoke, and that's how all things came into existence. And from the creator of all things, he provided us as a witness of the power of speaking with faith. God spoke, and whatever he said, that's the way it is. It's not going to change till he changes it. We got people telling us stuff, oh, global warming is going to destroy the world. God said it's not going to change till I change it. So you can believe the hogwash or you can believe God. You know what? Some people, they're trying to make it where it's illegal for you to speak against people who think that global warming is true. And I can think anything I want, people. I'm sorry. If y'all don't agree with God, I'm going to tell you what he said. I'm not going to let you shut my mouth because I trust God more, and death and life is in the power of the tongue. So I'm going to speak what God said. Genesis 8:22 said, there's seed time and harvest, summer and winter, cold and heat shall not cease as long as the earth remains. That's what God said. So hello, y'all can say whatever you want. I believe God. And I speak it with boldness because it's true. It's what God said. See, you and I can have that confidence to speak with boldness anything God said. You ought to do that because there are times when your own mind will work against you. You ever had a guilt thing in your mind about stuff in your life or regret from something you didn't do or you might have been able to do better, and you start going around and you start to put yourself down because you go, oh, you know, I should have did this, that, or other. And you feel sorry. Well, you ought to know no matter what you did, God has given you favor if you've trusted in Jesus Christ. He works all things, it says in Romans 8:28, together for good to those who love him and who are the called according to his purpose. So whatever's going on in your life, God is working it together for your good. He has put favor on your life. He wants you to be blessed, and he wants you to have a state of mind that I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. That's what he said. The Apostle Paul wrote that from right out of a prison cell in Rome. He was in a terrible situation for doing the right thing. And he said, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. He said, my God will supply all of your needs according to his riches and glory in Christ Jesus. God said, I'll supply all your needs, whatever you need. Does that comfort you? Think about it. Suppose I sat around and thought about, oh, boy, you know, because I got a lot of stuff I think now since God has given you some insight into your life that could be better, could have been done better. Oh, I could have did it this way, I could have done it that way. You feel sorry about it sometimes. And God says, you know what? I use everything in your life, the mistakes, the failures, the tragedies, everything that you've experienced to build the character in you, who you are right now. And I'm going to use it. I'm preparing you for greater things. We don't even know what all God is preparing us for, you know, because he has things that we're going to need to do, particularly in the last days. So we need to learn to build our family by speaking with faith. Say what God says. That's what we looked at last week. Remember that? We talked about Deuteronomy chapter 6, where he said, hear, O Israel, the Lord your God is one Lord. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your mind, with all your soul, with all your strength, with all your might. And these words, he says, shall be in your mouth. You speak about them when you sit in your house, when you walk by the way, when you rise up and when you lie down. Always be meditating in the law of the Lord. He told Joshua to not let the word of the book of this law depart from out of your mouth, but meditate therein day and night. And therefore you will make your way prosperous and you shall have good success. So he said, speak the truth. Paul told the Ephesians we should be speaking the truth in love. See? And so it's what we speak is very terribly important. You know, sometimes you get on a pity party. That's what we call it now. You know, we start thinking about what we might have done or how it could be and all that. Speak what God said. Speak life into your family. Speak life to yourself. Speak life when you pray. Don't speak death in the past of things in the world. And don't let the devil get you down. The flesh will side with Satan every time. You know. But you need to side with God. Allow the spirit to side with what thus saith the Lord. And remember that when you do it, it says here that there is one who sticketh closer than a brother. God says, I will never leave you nor forsake you, whatever you're going through. Lo, I am with you all the days, even to the end of the world. So as we exist as members of God's successful family, we talked about that last week, we must learn to allow allow our speech to reflect our acquainted faith, and which is the results of our discipleship. When we study the word, basically we have an acquired faith that comes to us. We acquire faith because we hear another thing about God that helps us understand him a little better. And when we understand him a little better, we can apply it to our lives a little better. And we grow little by little. That's why discipleship is irreplaceable. You've got to come and hear the word. You know what? I'm anxious to hear the word or study the word because I want to know what God says so I can have authority and peace and solidity in my life. I don't want to be wishy-washy. I want to be solid in God. You know, so when you hear the word, it's strengthening you, it's building you up. That's why he said, get together and sing songs and hymns and spiritual songs. Make melody in your hearts to the Lord. Edify one another. Build each other up with my word. That's what that means. And he said that in the earlier part of this Ephesian epistle, earlier in the chapter 5, so you can read that yourself. But the result of it is giving thanks always for all things. You see that? Unto God and the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Do you practice that? I just want to ask. Do you give thanks always for all things unto God? When you have difficult things in your life, tragedies and that, do you thank God for it? You know what I do? Because he took me through it. I look back, the stuff was difficult. Did I enjoy it while I was going through it? No. Was it miserable? Yes. Did I feel hurt or pain or discomfort or whatever it may have been? Yes, I did. But you know what? The Bible says the wounds of a friend are more faithful than the kisses of an enemy. If somebody told me something to set me straight and I was wrong, I needed it. I needed it. I need to hear that. Don't just sit and go talk about me behind my back and you see something wrong with me. Get in my face and say, look, this is the thing here. Your gossip is going behind you, a talebearer telling an evil story about you so other people discredit you and all of that. No, get in my face and say, hey, look here, come here. Take me aside. That's what the Bible says. If you have a fault with your brother, pull him aside and get him straight. You know, and so therefore, he said that a rebuke goes more deeply into a righteous person than 100 blows into the back of a fool. That's what the Bible said. You know, you can rebuke a person that's trying to do right, and they'll get better and do better, and they'll thank you for doing it. Don't go talk about them and criticize them and gossip. That's sin. God says it's a sin to go behind somebody's back talking about them. And so basically, give thanks always unto God for all things, God the Father, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Now notice this, submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of God. You and I are both and all under the fear of God. Wives, submit yourselves. Now he starts with the wives, so ladies, don't think I'm picking on you starting on the ladies today. But ladies first, that's what we say. So we're going to, and that's where Paul started, was with the ladies. He says here, wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands as unto the Lord. For the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church, and he is the Savior of the body. Therefore, as the church is subject unto Christ, so let the wives be to their own husbands in everything. Now, husbands, don't get too arrogant too quick. Because just because it says that, that doesn't mean that we can tell our wives to do anything. It doesn't mean that we shouldn't be like Christ in every decision that we make. It's a tough thing to read. It's tough for me. I try to do the best I can, but when I read this, it crushes me in a lot of ways about my relationship with my wife. I love my wife, but I know I don't necessarily do everything as Christ would do to the church because I'm defective. So it kind of breaks my heart to read that as much as it might break yours to see it as a woman. But men are to act as Christ. And so, and that's crumbling to me when I think about it, because I know I'm not nearly as compassionate as Christ. I am not as kind as Christ. I'm not as merciful as Christ. There's a lot of things I need to change about me if I'm going to treat my wife like Christ treats the church. And so what, you know what I do? I pray about it. I pray about it because I know I'm not there yet. I wouldn't stand here at the sacred desk and tell you, oh, yes, because my wife would probably throw something up here at me. Yes, I'm just like Jesus. No, No. So I'm going to tell the truth and shame the devil. The truth is I got a lot of work to do. And, you know, to be like this, because it says that the wife should submit, that means to be under subjection unto your own husband as unto the Lord. You know, in other words, do for your husband whatever you would do for the Lord. That means it's not going to be anything that will do you any damage or hurt you in any way, because God's not trying to hurt you. He's not trying to damage you. Somebody wrote a song talking about try a little tenderness. Well, that helps. But get in the Word. That's what I'm going to say to you. If you get in the Word, you can learn how Christ handled his wife. His wife is who? The church. Think, how does he deal with you as the church, as your portion in that? How does God deal with you? And when he deals with me with a lot of compassion, a lot of mercy, a lot of kindness. He has to, because I'm not all that I should be. See? And so he's always giving me grace. He's giving me mercy. He's overlooking things that I do that are not good or right. And not that he's overlooking it because he wants me to stop, but he's dealing with me when I don't. He has compassion for the things that he knows that I know are wrong and I just haven't addressed it yet in my life. I think every Christian has those things. We may not want to say it in the public. We like to come in the public, oh, hallelujah, thank you, Lord. But we got some stuff back there that's not right that God is dealing with in our lives. That's why we have to be disciples and sit under the Word. You know, we can put on a little phony show. That won't help. God knows he can see right through me. He can see the very core of my heart, and he knows exactly what's going on in my mind. And so the husbands are going to have to step up. We're going to hear that next week on Father's Day, so we're almost done here. Then God did this. I didn't set up the time, and he fixed it where the women came today, and the next week we'll deal with the men. And so basically what I want you to see is that since God has spoken in the text, ladies first, he brought it up first in this text, we're going to break the ice today, talking just a little bit in these last few minutes about what God means when he says to the wives that you are commanded to submit yourself to their own husbands as unto the Lord, keeping in mind that these commands are only for the ones who have ears to hear what the Spirit said to the churches. Now, you might have a husband that's on another wavelength, that's not even thinking about God. Sometimes that happens. And you know what you're going to have to do? You're going to have to trust God and speak life into your family to build your family. Speak the truth, live the truth, even more important. Have faith that God is working on that situation. He said to those who are married, he said, if you're married to an unbeliever, don't get out of it. Stay in it. As long as they are willing to stay and there's peace. If there's not peace, if there's confusion or anything like that, you have a reason to break it off. But otherwise, stay, because your children are sanctified by your relationship with God. That's what Paul teaches to the Corinthians in 1 Corinthians. And we'll talk about that a little bit more in detail. We're trying to hit the high points here today. So in general, God made the man first and made the woman, brought them together to be a perfect union. See, and you know what? People can say whatever they want, but I bet you I could ask and take a poll in this room and many others and ask how many people you know that don't have a belly button. I think everybody would say we all do. That means we were all born to the union of a man and a woman. You see, didn't happen any other way. There has been no evolution, not of that kind. It's been something God designed from the very beginning when he said it was not good that the man should be alone. And a woman was the solution for that problem. Now, I know we got some single people here, too. So I just want to say this just before I take my seat. I want you to understand that singleness is not bad. It can be if you can't manage it. And sometimes people have chosen to be single. They tried marriage. It didn't work. And it was disappointing. And they didn't get what they thought they should get out of it. And so they decided not to be married anymore. A lot of different situations exist within the body of Christ. Wherever you are in that scenario, if you're single, God still loves you. And he can still bring you the person who you need in your life. If you begin to ask him, take that up in your relationship, pray and ask God, seek his face and obey him, trust him, ask him for what you want. Sometimes we're scared to ask God for certain things, you know, but we need to go on our knees and ask God if there's something we lack. The Bible says, if any of you lack wisdom, ask God. He says, cast all your care. That means anything that you care about that's a concern to you, cast all your care upon him, for he cares for you. See, he cares about every little thing in your life. He wants that intimacy. He is that friend that sticketh closer than a brother. He's the one that loves us whether we're up or whether we're down. He loves us whether we are in a mess or ballistic within ourselves or whatever. He is always there for us. So cultivate that relationship. Ask God. I bet you God can give you a speedy answer. And he says it's a good thing that when a whoso findeth a wife findeth a good thing in favor with the Lord. God has promised to give you favor. Now, some people have a supernatural gift of being single, and it's not a problem for them, where they don't violate anything sexually and that type of thing. If you do, that's really wonderful, but it's not normal. It's not the normal thing. It doesn't mean it's odd or bad necessarily either. It just means that you can be used more by God because you don't have some of the encumbrances that come with being married. When you're married, you have to compromise on a lot of things if you want your marriage to work. You're not going to agree with everything that your mate does or says. There's going to be some conflict between you and her in marriage. And so you're going to have to work those differences out. And there's some obligations that you have when you're married that you don't have when you're single. When you're single, you are less obligated to anyone except yourself necessarily than other members of your own family, perhaps. And so you can be used by God a little bit more because you don't have to report to anyone except God. And so that's a good thing. The Bible says it's good for a man not to touch a woman. But because of fornication, let every man have his own wife and let every woman have her own husband. That's what he told the church at Corinth. And we'll talk about some more of these texts as the study deepens. But for now, keep that in mind. You know, some women have a lot of trouble with submission because people have twisted what it means. It doesn't mean that I cower around like a little puppy. It doesn't mean that. Not at all. Submission is you in any submission you do should always be unto that which is godly, not anything that is ungodly or unfruitful. You know, it's got to be what God said. And so we want to study what God said, pray on what he said, and ask him to make it so of me. That's what I do all the time. And just before we dismiss, this message is kind of like one in a building block of many others that we have yet to come. But in this message here, I just want to submit that. Because of the deception of the devil that was put up on Eve for her transgression of God's law, created an impetus within Adam to join her in sin. The devil came to the woman first. For some reason, we don't know what it is or why, but Adam, I guess it could have been, it could have been an act of love. I don't know. He could have said, wow, she's ruined now because she ate. And so I'm going to be ruined with her. Could have been like that. I don't know. The Bible doesn't address it. It just says that she disobeyed God because she was deceived, and Adam willfully disobeyed God. And so basically he crashed the entire human family into an ever-increasing spiral of sin, to the very depths of sin and all the multitudes of its evil expressions. There's so many of them today, it's unbelievable. The stuff you hear about on the news is enough to make you sick in some cases. Therefore, the family, which is the focal point of God's love, also became the focal point of the devil, fueled by his hatred and punished under the curse of Almighty God. Satan said, okay, God, you think so much of the family? I do too, but I'm going to destroy it. So that's where he is. And so, but you know what? He won't win. I read the end of the book. We win. So we don't have to worry about him. He's going to be crushed under Jesus' feet. And so this study is designed just to give a treatment to our minds from God's life-giving word and to redirect our way of thinking about all of this so that we might attain maximal benefit from the inestimable sacrifice that God has made for us in the offering of Jesus, his only begotten son. So that's the purpose of this message, is to get us to think on what God said and begin to speak what he said. Don't speak defeat. Don't speak what the world says. Don't speak the doubts of your mind, the fears of your mind. Speak the word of God. Declare God's word. Like, I love those readings we've been doing because it's true. Declare that kind of thing over your life because it's the truth of you. If you trust in Christ and you believe God raised him from the dead, you shall be saved. So I want to ask now, if there's anybody here who is not saved, we give you an opportunity to come, but I also want to invite people who are saved that want to make sanctuary in your church home that you might come at this time as well. But if you're here and you are not a member, we'd like to invite you to be a member because we are teaching. We're serious about the knowledge of God's word. We want everyone to know it and know it clearly. And so this is a good place for you if this is what you desire. And so we want to invite you to come at this time. Either way, saved or unsaved, you may come and occupy this current area and make that decision known to the church here. Amen. In the meantime, let's have a word of prayer. Father, we bless you. We praise you. We thank you for your word. Thank you for your son. We thank you for the family, Lord. We can just see the beauty of it, even in the midst of all of the stuff that we see that's not so beautiful. We see killing and murder and all kinds of stuff, rape, homosexual sin. All kinds of things that go against and militate against the family, Lord God. But we pray today, Lord God, by the power of your word, that you bless us, fill us with understanding. Help us to embrace your word, oh God, and the truth. Help us to have it on the tip of our tongue, Lord. Put it in the center of our heart. You said, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. And so, Lord God, we ask you to heighten that sense of the presence of your Holy Spirit in all our decisions, Lord, and we ask for forgiveness for times when we didn't do what we should have done, Lord God, in terms of any of these things, Lord, our marriage, our family, our friends, whatever it was that we didn't do, and the things that we should have done, things we could have done better. And we know that you are the God of great grace, great deliverance, and you have delivered us, Father, not to be sitting around having a pity party about things in the past, but to focus our minds on the future where you are taking us, Lord God. You said that you have a place that's being prepared for us. You said, let not your hearts be troubled. You believe in God. Believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. And I go to prepare a place for you. Help us to focus our mind toward the prepared place that you have prepared for us, oh God. We ask you to help us look in that direction, looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross. Help us to understand that, Lord, that he endured the cross, despising the shame, and yet that earned him a place at your right hand, and gave him a name which is above every name, that at his name every knee will bow, every tongue will confess that he is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Bless today, Father, if there's anyone here believing you today, God, from the quietness of their own heart. We ask that you grant them salvation, fill them with your Holy Spirit, seal them for the day of redemption, Lord God, that they might know that they are saved. Father, we ask that you put your word in our minds and have it be ready on our lips so
So that the answer that we give might give grace to the hearers as sprinkling of salt, oh God. We give you the praise right now. We give you the glory. We ask all this in the matchless name of Jesus Christ, your Son. It's to him that we pray, Lord, and we lift up his name, God, because we know that it is your good pleasure to give us the kingdom because of our faith in your Son, Jesus Christ. So, Lord God, bless every home, every family. Help us to improve on our marriage. Lord God, all of us that are married and those of us who are seeking, we ask a special grace, Lord, that you help bring that process to pass, Lord, that we would find the one that we need. And that they would be at our side so that we can praise you together as family. We bless you and we give you praise. In Jesus' name, the whole church said together, amen. 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 Give God a hand praise. Amen. So we thank the good Lord. We see that there are none, but yet there is room. So we want to just pray and thank God. Hopefully you did get a good word from the message today. And something you can take and meditate on throughout the week. Amen. So we thank